We are on the Gemara and Daf Gimel on the base.
Dollar on the
Excuse
case.
me. Dalet on base.
Yeah.
And we have just now reached the stage based on Basa B'Cholov, in which we currently hold that everybody must maintain that Yesh Em LaMikra, because nobody in the world said, Larry, are you there? Looks like you're in a cloud.
No, I'm here. Why? You can't see me?
Very blurred. Okay, it must be you.
We can see you, but your image is like hazy, like there's something with your camera that's not quite right.
Really?
Well, you're in a cloud, Larry. Okay.
I am in the clouds, always.
Awesome. Good place to be. Okay, we said based on Basa B'Cholov, nobody in the world told us there's an issa called Bosa Bechelev. It's definitely called Bosa Becholov, which would suggest that everybody holds that Yeshem Lemikra. If that's the case, we now have to revisit the five discussions on Amud Aleph to work out what the Machloikus was. Until this stage, we understood the two sides of the coin in all the various stages on the first Amud were Yesh Eim LeMikra versus Yesh Eim LeMaseiris. But if you now tell me that everybody holds at Yesh Eim LeMikra, so what is the discussion? So yesterday we saw the first two with regard to Rebbe Verabonon. We said the Machlokes is how to understand the word Yarshion. In the second case of Rebbe Yehuda ben Royetz, Shivim and Shvuayim, we said, actually, there is no machlokes at all. The Talmidim merely posed the question, but they never actually argued, and therefore, yes, we go with the mikro. We're up to the third one now. It's a little bit complicated, but we've done it already, so we're going to learn it with your permission quickly. On the fifth line of the Gemara, Beis Hillel. So, brief reminder. What was the machlokes on Aleph between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? It was l'chayra how to learn the whole chronos issue. How many matonis at the end of the day? Oh, Larry, we can see you. How many days at the end? How many matonis ale ikuva? A machloikas Beis Shammai said two ale ikuva. Beis Hillel says one is le ikuva. And we thought that was all based on machloikas yeshem lemikra yeshem lemaseiras. But if you've now just told me that everybody agrees that yeshem lemikra, well, then we have to revisit this machlokes, which is what we're about to do. Beis Hillel, the Tanya. V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. We have three droshes over here. The word v'chiper is mentioned three times. V'pnei hadin. It's all based on the following logic. We do not know, if you remember, we learned this last week. We do not know what should we compare the chatos to. V'haloi dinu. There is a logic on the one hand to say, Nemar domim lamato and nemar domim lamalo. It talks about in the Torah domim in various places. Ma domim wamurim lamato shenostam matona achas kiper. So too, af domim wamurim lamalo shenostam matona achas is also kiper. So on the one hand, I could compare it to one set of chatois. We're not going to get involved in all the details again, where you only need one matana. So for maybe so too, in our case as well, we would say that the chatos only needs one matana. On the other hand, oiklach l'derech zu, or perhaps we could argue a different logic, which is also perfectly plausible. Nemar domim b'chutz v'nemar domim b'fnim. We have some chatois where the dam is sacrificed on the outside, some on the inside. So maybe that's what we should be comparing. Ma domim u'amurim bifnim, chiser achas v'matonis le'osav le'klum. Over there, on the inside chatois, if you're missing even just one matona, you're in big trouble. The whole kapora falls through. So maybe I should say the same too as well. Av domim u'amurim b'chutz, chiser achas v'matonis le'osav klum. So I don't know. I've got a choice of two different types of chatois I could compare it to. Some chatois, one matana is sufficient. Some chatois, you're going to have all of the matonis. As soon as anything's missing, you're in big trouble. So I don't know which case should I compare our chatois to. Says the Gemara, well, let's try and work this out together. Nira, let's have a look. Lami doime. Which one would you say it's more comparable to? Would I say donin chutz michutz, vein donin chutz mipnim? Should I compare those chatois that are sacrificed outside and not bring to the equation chatois that are sacrificed inside because those are different? Therefore, maybe those are not comparable. Oh, maybe not. Maybe I should argue a different argument. Donin chatos the dalad kronos, michatos the arba kronos, the aliyichiach ze shein chatos the dalad kronos. This is not really a. In the second version of chatos, it does not talk in the Torah about dalad kronos. Therefore, we have a huge suffix, again, without getting involved in the whole cheshbon, we have a huge suffix in the final analysis. Should I be comparing this to chatos A or chatos B? Chatos A, one matana is sufficient. Chatos B, I've got to have the full set. So it's inconclusive. I could perfectly well argue logic in both directions, says the Gemara. Talmud Loma, v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. What are these three words? V'chiper, m'pnei adin, i.e., kiper, the first drosha, waters you down. Afal pi, shalei nosan elo shtayim, elo shalosh, excuse me. And then the second kiper is afal pi, shalei nosan elo shtayim. And then the third kiper, afal pi, shalei nosan elo achas. So it turns out in the final analysis that Beis Hillel is arguing with Beis Shammai not because of Mikra versus Maseiros. Everybody, as proven by Bosu B'Cholov, my well hold, you go with the Mikra. The reason why Beis Hillel maintained that you only have to have one Matana was based on the triple V'chiper Drosha. If it says V'chiper three times, so that we know each word is extra, for each word is coming to tell you that you can knock off one of the matanos. So initially, as a mitzvah, you have to have four matanos. Then the first drosha comes along and says, no, you only need three. The second drosha says you only need two. The third drosha says you only need one. Nothing to do with yesh em lemikra or yesh em lemaseiros. Rather, it is a totally local drosha specific to this particular shayla. Fourth case, says the Gemara, v'Rab Shimon v'Rabbanon b'ha pligi. If you remember, we had a machlokes Rab Shimon and Rabbanon with regard to how many walls you've got to have in your sukkah. And we thought it's all based on Mikra and Maseiros, which have now left. So what is the machlokes after all? Says the Gemara, v'Rab Shimon v'Rabbanon b'ha kepligi. Reb Shimon Savar Schocha Loiba Ikro. Reb Shimon says there's an extra word over here. I don't need one of the word sukkah is to teach you that you have to have schach because that is the nature of a sukkah. In which case, I've got four mentions, and four mentions means you have to have four walls, albeit that the last one is only a tefach. Whereas, says the Gemara of Rabbanon, they hold it Schocha Ba Ikro. I do need to be taught that schach is the integral part of the sukkah, which means, therefore, that one of the four mentions is not available. Therefore, really, is only three walls, of which one is a tefach. So once again, the machlokas is not based on mikra versus maseiros, rather a technical and local shaila on how to darshan the word sukkah. And finally, what about Reb Akiva? We had the fifth case, if you remember, about dam, a shear of revius of dam coming from two separate dead bodies. Is that sufficient or not? And we thought that it's all based on mikra maseiros, depending how to learn the word nefosha. He says the Gemara, no. V'Reb Akiva v'Rabbanan b'ha pligi. Reb Akiva savar nefoshois tarti mashma. Rabbi Akiva understands that when it says nefoshes, That means two different people. Even though I've only got one set of dam, it's only a revius. But even if it comes from two separate people, it's still matami. Whereas Rabbanon, savri, that nefosha is the alma mashma. When it says nefosha, it doesn't mean of two people. Rather, it means of mankind. When the Torah says, if dam comes out of nefosha, is meaning of mankind, but not of two different bodies. Doesn't mean two different bodies. Really, it's got to come from one body. Why did the Torah use the plural version? That's a normal way. It just means it came from mankind. It came from human beings. Okay, so at this stage of the game, we press pause. Where are we up to in the Cheshbon? The Gemara is considering at the moment that everybody holds Yeshem LeMikra. No discussion about it. That's why the Issa is definitely Bosa B'cholov. And with regard to all the various machloks and Muhammad Aleph, we've just explained in a brand new way that they're actually not dependent on Mikra and Masiris. But now the Gemara challenges this once again. Why? Larry.
Would it be fair to say, though, that it's really the machlokas doesn't change? It's just that the person, now that we agree that everybody agrees Yeshem LeMikra, the pressure is on the person who says Yeshem LeMasorah to say what he was really talking about, because
correct,
he also agrees Yeshem LeMikra.
Correct, 100%.
So it's not like there was a machlokas, now the whole thing changes. Now we know I agree on Yeshem LeMikra and you agree on Yeshem LeMikra. So what exactly were you talking about when you said Yeshem LeMasorah?
Right, you surely can't have meant simply Yesh Eim LeMaseiris and I ignore the Mikra, because everybody's got to agree to Mikra, as we see Basa B'cholov. That's what the Gemara is saying. You're right, I didn't mean Yesh Eim LeMaseiris, rather I managed to find a local drasha. However, the Gemara now challenges this. Udakula Alma Yesh Eim LeMikra? Question mark. Is it really true that everybody holds Yesh Eim LeMikra, which is what we're trying to suggest at the moment? Vatanya Latoitafois, 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 Harikan Arba. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Now, why is that Arba? Why is that Arba? That's Arba if you don't go with the Mikra. If you look at the Masayres, then we notice that the first two times is without a Vav. And the third one is with. So it's one and one and two, and that's how you get to four. Now we're in big trouble, because I thought we just said everybody goes with the Mikra, which means you should really have to have six parashas in the Tefillin. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva, I'm a Einoi Tzarech. Rabbi Kiva says, I agree that there's four parashas, but you don't need to learn it from the repeated word Tetefos, rather it's inherent. Because tat bekaspi ishtaim and pat baafriki ishtaim. So the word toit or fois means two and two. But either way, what do you see? That nobody over here is going with the mikra. So how can you tell me that everybody on planet Earth agrees that yesh em le mikra? Well, if you really hold yesh em le mikra, then toit or fois three times should give us the conclusion that you need six parashiyos, and nobody holds that. So guess what? The Gemara backtracks again. Elo lo oilam pligi. You're 100% right. We're going back to the initial understanding, which is lo oilam pligi. Yes, indeed, there is a machloikus, yeshem le mikro and yeshem le maseres. And there are really opinions that indeed hold yeshem le maseres, as we've just seen in Tetefos. So what was always the big challenging question? So what are you going to do with Bosa B'cholov then? If there is an opinion that says Maseiras, so why have I never heard of anybody who holds that there's an Issa called Bosa B'chelev? Says the Gemara, there's a qualification. V'hani mili ki pligi, when do they argue about Mikra versus Maseiras? Heicha deshani kra m'maseiras. That's only when there's actually a difference in spelling between the Mikra and the Maseiros, like Nefoshos, and Sukkos, and Kronos, etc., etc. However, Aval Hai, Chelev, V'cholov, chaylev and cholov is spelled the same way. Dechi hadodi ninu, it's all the same. There, everybody agrees, yeshem the mikra. So at this stage of the game, it turns out there's rather a complicated compromise, which is, on an ordinary occasion, where there is a discrepancy in the spelling between the mikra and the Maseiras, well, then we would say there's a machloikas between mikra and Maseiras. If, however, the mikra and Maseiras are all spelt in the same way, like cholav and chelev, well, then we definitely go with the mikra. And that's why there's an issa called basa b'cholav. And yet the Gemara challenged that as well. Vahare yira 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 and Yira, remember we had this discussion about whether it's talking about being seen or seeing. So it's all spelled the same way, whether it's Yira or Yira. And if it's really true that when it's the same spelling, you have to go with the Mikra, well, then we're going to be in trouble. Why are we going to be in trouble? Says the Gemara, Upligi, because we do have a Machlaikas. The Tanyan Yechnam and Davoy Oyman Mishum Rabbi Yudim and Teva Hasuma Ba'achas Me'eno Potter Menari. Somebody who is blinded in one eye is Potter Shanema Yiroe 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 Kederech Shebo Lirois Kach Bo Lirois. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you, you must be seen, meaning with two eyes. Ma Lirois Beshteyeno Vaf Lirois Beshteyeno. So I see that what? Even though Yira and Yiroe is spelt the same, nonetheless, we are considering the Maseiras. There's the Gemara Elo, and this is now the final line of the Sugya. Elo, you're right. There is always a Machlekes, Yeshem le Mikro, Yeshem le Maseiras. 100% true. And every time you find any type of discrepancy, whether the spelling is the same or the spelling is the different, you will always have to now realizes Machlokes, Mikra, and Maseiras. However, Basa B'Cholav is different. Why is Basa B'Cholav different? Why did nobody maintain that the Issa is Basa B'Cholav? El Omer V'Achabrid Ravikom Akra Loi Sevashel Gedi Derech Bishul Osra Teiro. What does that mean, Derech Bishul Osra Teiro? So we saw a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns that if you have a choice of translating, understanding this word to be cholov, which is a liquid, or chelev, which is a solid, well, then the clue is in the fact that the Torah talks about cooking it. You don't cook a solid, you fry it. So if the Torah talks about cooking bosa b'cholov, it must indeed be cholov, because cholov is a liquid. So therefore, the reason why everybody agrees that it's Basa B'Cholav is nothing to do with Mikra and Maseiras. Essentially, there should be a Machlokes, Mikra versus Maseiras. But over here, we know from the word Bishul that we must be talking about a liquid. And that means Cholav. Tosfos, however, learns slightly differently. Tosfos says, Derech Bishul Osra Teiro. The Torah is telling you that it's only Osra when it's cooked together, meaning so long as it's not cooked together, it's permissible to eat. And the problems only begin when it's cooked together. That's true when it comes to bosar and cholov. Bosar individually is permissible, cholov individually is permissible. The only problem is when they're cooked together. But chelev is fat, you're not allowed to eat fat. So chelev is osur even when it's not cooked together. So that cannot be the subject of the pasuk. So either way, in the final conclusion, Rabbi Yisai, very important to realize the maskana. The maskana is that there is a machloikas b'chol atoira kula yesh em lemikra versus yesh em lemaseiras. And there are some very, very choshev tanoim. Every tana is choshev. There are tanoim who hold both positions. Basa b'cholav is an exception. Why is Basa B'Cholav an exception? Because there cannot be a discussion, Mikra versus Maseiras, because it's inherent in the Pasuk that we must be referring to Cholav. either according to Rashi, because the fact that it's cooked, meaning talking about a liquid, or according to Tosas, the fact that it needs to be cooked to become osa means that without it, it would be mutter, so it can't be chelev. But the bottom line is, we know it must be talking about cholov, so basar b'cholov is an exception. But the general rule is, if there's two ways to understand it, mikra versus maseiros, then yes, it's an enormous machlokes.
Quick question: Why aren't I allowed to eat a piece of cheese and a piece of salami together if I'm not cooking them together?
You are allowed to.
What?
Minatayra, you're allowed to.
Ah, so it's midrabanan that they created.
Only midrabanan, quite right.
Oh, it's only midrabanan. I wish you'd have told me that.
Bob is very serious stuff. We don't want to be over chas v'shalom. It's a drabanan. But you're 100% right. If I take a piece of beef and I put on it a piece of cheese and I eat it, minatira, 100% permissible if it's all cold. The issue is only when I cook it together. That is awesome minatira. Quite right. Okay, Rabbi Issa, we have completed our chazara. I know it's a little bit quick, but chazara is chazara. That's the whole beauty of chazara. We can do it quicker and get things clear. And with this, we now move on. Let me just get another Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. We're on the bottom line now. Dine Momonos Beshloisha. I think this phrase now is rather familiar to us. Dine Momonos Beshloisha. Ve'im hoyom mumche l'rabim. How does Art Scroll translate mumche l'rabim?
Judge widely recognized.
Mumche l'rabim means he's a universally accepted, widely recognized mumche. So it means l'rabim. Then, in the opinion of this braisa, we learn a very big chiddush. Don afilu yechidi. Then he is allowed to judge even alone, which means
that the that's interesting because in Pirkei Avos it says only one being can judge alone, and that of course is HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Correct. Yeah. So here's a chiddush which is not universally agreed upon, right? In the Mishnah, it seemed to be a rule you got to have three in all cases, and here we're being told that no, if it's a mumcha l'rabim, if it is a university recognized, a publicly recognized dayan, then he can dan afilu yechidi. Says Rashi. Now, we have to, in order to appreciate this Rashi, we have to remind ourselves of something we learned earlier on. You'll remember we had the whole sugya, the complicated sugya of Iruv Parashiyos. What's Iruv Parashiyos? Iruv Parashiyos was, we called it rather crassly, cut and paste. I mean, you've got to mix up the parashiyos. I'm just going to finish it in a gulp. Iruv Parashiyos. You remember, the whole principle of Dayonim and how many you have to have and what status, etc., etc., was all written in, thank you, all written in one parasha. And the question was whether it was copy and pasted onto another. So essentially in Dine Momonos, the Torah does not say clearly that you have to have three dayanim. It was learned based on the principle of Iruv Parashiyos, because it says the word Elohim three times in elsewhere with regard, if you remember, to Hashem Mechinom, etc., etc., and we copy and paste out, or cut and paste out to Halvois. But if you don't hold of Iruv Parashiyos, then you don't necessarily have to have three Dayanim, one could suffice, and that's what Rashi says. Look at the top Rashi. Don afilu biyachid diksiv, because the Torah writes, b'tzedek, Tishpoit. Now, what does Tishpoit mean? You shall judge in the singular. Had it been in the plural, it would have said Tishpoitu. You plural should judge. So I seem to have a precedent in the Torah that says that one is enough. Says Rashi, Rashi immediately have to add, because Sovar ain kan iruv parshis. And he holds this particular mandom and his price holds, there is no iruv parshis. Were there to be iruv parshis, then what would we say? Yes, it says, but tzedek tishpoit in the singular, but we happen to learn from elsewhere that you need three. But if I don't hold of iruv parshis, then I just concentrate on this particular parsha. And in this particular parsha, there is a precedent to have just one dayan, because it says, betzedek tishpoit, in the singular. Therefore, as long as he is competent and is a publicly recognized mumcha, then one is enough. Larry, you don't need to hold your hand up. Go.
I do, because otherwise I'll keep interrupting. So I have to keep myself in check. If he's a mumcha, but if he's just a single dayan, wouldn't he be concerned? I'm saying this with a cover, like with Yegia. Maybe if I don't have somebody else's opinion to check with myself, maybe I have a history of something, maybe something I heard in my own mind. Like, wouldn't he be opening himself up to his own personal views?
You're asking a very, very big question and a very important question, which very, very interestingly is relevant to somebody who paskens shaylas lahalacha and also to doctors. So Rav Moshe Zedek, we're in the same boat here. There is a whole lengthy discussion on the status of either a rov, a pesach, or a doctor who does not consult the opinion of others and always goes alone. And there's a lengthy Ramban about this. And it's based on a whole Gemara elsewhere, and you've almost not going to get involved. But the bottom line is the Ramban speaks very, very harshly about somebody who paskens shaylas without referring, without consulting, and those who are more knowledgeable than him. And he says the same too is true of a doctor as well. So much so that he writes that if a doctor always is happy to give a psak without consulting those who are more senior than him, then he is a vadai shofech domim, vadai murderer. The interesting thing is that the Ramban, if you look carefully, the way he compares a doctor to a poisek, is telling you that essentially a doctor is a poisek. He's not just comparing them, rather he's telling you they're the same. A doctor is paskening issues of pikuach nefesh. So if a doctor says, in my opinion, this is what you have to do, because in my opinion, you're suffering from this disease, or in my opinion, you're not suffering from this disease, etc., etc., then he is actually issuing psokim of pikuach nefesh. So therefore, it may well be that the poisek is paskening hilchas bosar b'cholov. And yet the doctor is paskening issues of pikuach nefesh. And therefore, it's not just a comparison one to the other, but actually they can be considered the same. And therefore, he writes as follows. What is the problem? What is the issue of paskening shaylas without consulting with others? He says, it is an issue, the Mishnah in Ovos, Rabbi Yehuda David talks about this as well, to be gas liboy bohiro. Gas liboy means haughty. Gas liboy, gaiva. If a person is able to consult with those who are more senior than him, or those who are more experienced, and nonetheless says, no, I don't need to, I know it all, then he's considered a bal gaiva. And when he's a bal gaiva, he is more than likely to go make a mistake. If somebody paskens with humility, then he's likely to keep along the straight and narrow. But if he paskens with gaiva, he's over arrogant, then as we know, a person who's arrogant makes mistakes. The fascinating discussion is, and I don't really have an answer to this halacha lemaisa, but just a couple of weeks ago, I heard a whole discussion with this, another Rav from Beitar. is that the Ramban says that this only applies if there is a more senior Rav or a more senior doctor there available in the same town, for example. Whereas if there's no other more senior doctor available, then the fact that I paskened alone doesn't mean I'm a balgaiver, just there was nobody else to consult with. So the big question is, which is rather unclear, is, well, what happens nowadays? Nowadays, when you can phone anybody and you can email anybody, so there's no such thing as there's nobody else to consult. Maybe on Shabbos you can't contact Beseda, but on a regular day, there's always somebody you can contact, even if it's not in your local neighborhood or town or city or even country. Make one quick phone call to America, to Australia, and you can always consult. So the Ramban, in this particular point, is not clear. The Ramban does, however, say that we have to make a distinction between two different types of shailas. There is one type of shaila, either a halachic shaila or a medical shaila, which is dvarim pshutim, clear cut. So if somebody would come to ask you, are you allowed to cook food on Shabbos? So we all understand that's a dover poshut, and I don't need to consult with somebody who's more senior because it's dvarim pshutim, it's dvarim mefurashim. However, there's a different type of shayla, which is something which is not clearly spoken about, and you now have to, based on your Torah or medical knowledge, compare one to another, right? So if somebody tells you, if I cook something in a microwave on Shabbos, is that considered bishul? So nobody can turn around and say, well, it's poshut, look at the Shulchan Aruch, he talks about it. He doesn't. There's no Shulchan Aruch about microwaves. So now, in order to paskin a shaila, I have to use my Torah knowledge and say, well, maybe it could be compared to cooking in the sun. Maybe it could be compared to cooking in an old-fashioned gas oven. Maybe a kira, maybe a tanur. I'm now using my knowledge to try and compare it to something which is explicit, but it's not actually written explicitly. That's the type of shaila in which you have to consult with. I'll call upon him. This brings us back to Larry, your question over here. So here, this is a big chiddush. To say that you can have one dayan, albeit he's a great mumche, but he's allowed to paskal alone is a tremendous chiddush. Why isn't there a concern, either some agenda or maybe make a mistake? Why would you not want to have a fellow dayanim on the Beis Din? Okay, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see. This is certainly not the end of the sugya. We're going to hold it over here, and Be'ezus Hashem continue tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah, Shukar, have a good day.
Feel well and feel well.